With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan across the country on CBS Sports Network. You're listening to a Monkees song, and the reason why is because of the passing of Peter Tork of the Monkees.
We had him on the show here.
Yeah, little known fact there that there is a picture of you and Peter Tork together after an appearance on the show.
I tweeted out on the morning show account, the size of the chest between Boomer and Peter Tork. It's unbelievable how much broader a chest Boomer has.
Yeah, it's amazing that they're both the same species,
right?
The two of them.
You could crush this guy, Boomer. Not that you would, he was a pleasant fellow.
He was a great guy. Hey. Looks like me and Steve Summers.
Oh, man.
Right?
Steve Summers made an internet appearance yesterday.
I saw that. Good for him.
Yeah,
what
I know.
Izzo, sorry. What's next? Zach going to do some sort of thing with Izzo? Some sports rant?
Yeah, so what are they? Quick takes, he calls them. So Izzo gets a host, and a host has a quick take on sports, and it's like a minute long, and Steve Summers did it yesterday. And, man, I tell you. It's amazing when you get a glimpse of Summers in the flesh like that, you know?
That's why I knew that was going to be a huge video. That guy's never on video, really.
Yeah, right.
So I knew that would be a hit.
Kind of a reason for that. But I think we should get Jerry doing, like, your quick sports takes.
You want to do a quick take with Jerry?
Yeah, why shouldn't Jerry? Sure. Jerry should just do it.
Why not? Are you interested in that, Jerry?
Yeah, I would do that.
Okay, so I don't know why Izzo doesn't approach
you. F you.
There you go. That's all he has to do right there. Just one more time.
F you.
That's all you. There you go.
Second time was definitely better than the first. Oh, man.
There's Jerry's sports take for the day.
Right.
Tom Izzo is like my favorite.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, look at you.
Right.
Wow, that's a nice endorsement there.
Hey, I endorsed that guy before he got the job that he presently has.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we talked about him a lot. So give that kid credit. You know why? Because he got a job that he ultimately really wanted. And he had to do it in a different way of going about it, right? So he was hungry for a job, and he got it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And he's a nice guy.
I don't know about that.
He is.
Sucks at softball.
Because he's nervous.
You know, I was thinking about, looking at the analytics back from our softball season.
Oh,
man,
yeah?
You guys suck. I mean, honestly.
You won every game but one.
Yeah, barely. But no. Our analytics on Sabermetrics were terrible.
I don't know about that. Did you get Adam Guttridge to check that out?
I got everybody to check it out. I got a whole dossier on you guys. How about that?
Well, before your dossier, I knew that I sucked because I got one hit in about 30 at-bats.
Is that all you finished with, that one hit against the Port Authority police?
That's right. Just the one hit.
But the fact that you blew your hamstring out on your first at-bat over at Fort Hamilton, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was more than interesting. Yeah, it was a low point. It was embarrassing completely.
But I think that's also what spiked you to, you know, become the human being that you've become, you know, from a physical standpoint over the last 6 months, don't you think?
Not that was particular moment.
Was it that moment or was when they had you on the boat?
It was, I told you, it was that boat video.
I'm on a boat.
Yes.
I'm on a boat, baby!
It was that video when CBS Sports Network came out to film my boating experience, and I was so excited to see how it came out.
And then you saw the extra chins.
Yeah, well, more than that, right. And I looked like a warthog who came into some money.
Well, you say that. We don't say that about you. You were just big. That's all.
Nice job having the video ready. Look at this.
And you know what? Just look at you. The way that you handle the boat, it's so easy. It's like you are so nautical.
Oh, thank you.
How'd it feel driving a Steiger craft with a regulator hat on?
It felt great, man.
Good.
It did. You know, this is my present and future. That's
when
I
see you, I see a South Shore longshoreman right there.
Oh, thank you. I'll take that as a very high compliment. You know, nautical seaman. From the South Shore.
South Shore nautical seaman.
That's right. That's exactly what I am. And I wear that proudly. Jerry is here with an update. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by the Ray Catino Auto Group. Test drive a 2019 Porsche Macan from Ray Catino Porsche.
I would like to get my semen checked. Sponsor.
What was that, Jerry? This is brought to you by, what's that again?
Ray Catino Porsche and Edison, or Porsche Tom's River. Iron Eagle night last night
in
Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah, baby. Yes.
But it did not go well for the Nets, who lost to the Blazers and a former Knick.
Right to left into the front court. Curry streaking. Out of the right side, Lillard. Back to Curry on the block. Finds Hood in the corner for a three. It's in and out, no good. Cantor flies in for the rebound, and he muscles one up and in. And the Nets need a timeout as the Blazers are starting to pull away here in the third quarter.
That is Chris Carino, the call here on the Fan. They were pulling away. The Nets got back to within one, and then they pulled away again. Portland wound up winning 113-99. Nets fall to 30-30. Enes Kanter, 18 points, 9 rebounds. Yusuf Nurkic with 27-12. Here's Terry Stotts. He says Kanter instant offense for his club.
He's basically played the way we expected him to. He's a very effective post player, very effective in the paint. He set great screens and pick and rolls.
And for them, and you know, that's true. And that just further goes to show you that the Knicks made the right decision.
Detachable penis.
Yeah.
Right?
No, without a doubt. He can contribute. There's no doubt about that.
And he's on a good team, and he's going to be fine.
You guys text Ian? I meant to text him last night. I did not. Yeah. You didn't text Ian?
I did not.
I feel like we need to text Ian.
I didn't want
to
bother Ian.
Yeah, but now this morning maybe.
But very nice what they did, though. Had his family out at center court.
See, cool. I feel
how
like.
How about
look
his
son?
It's like a little Ian. But he's actually bigger than Ian.
Pretty much taller. Yeah. They look identical. The only thing was he didn't have the tie on. I mean, can you tell which one's which?
Yeah, I know. It is a little scary. I mean, Ian, of course, a little bit chunkier than Noah, but still the exact same face. Exact same face.
It's pretty wild.
It's amazing. Look at Ian. Is that, that's just perfect. That still shot on CBS Sports Network.
And right they now. Went with the same hairstyle and glasses frames.
And the same color suit.
I mean, that's not Ian telling his son to do that. That's his son doing that.
And then you see...
very underrated. His daughter and wife look alike, too.
Yeah. It's amazing how that works, the whole genealogy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no confusion about who was whose father or mother in that picture.
I wonder if Noah will also be in Gryffindor or not.
A reference I don't
yeah, what is that, Eddie?
I should play another semen drop.
Somebody out there got it
right. Someone. Here's Kenny Atkinson. Just tough night.
Didn't coach well, didn't play well. They were just, it's just one of those games where it's like Portland was simply the better team.
Outscored him 34-22 in the third. Elsewhere from basketball, you had the Lakers playing the Rockets. Rockets had a big lead on L.A. last night. LeBron James, a big second half. In the end, the Lakers win, and they also got Harden out of the game.
Harden down the middle. He runs into LeBron. Is that the offensive foul on Harden? If it is, he's out. James Harden is fouled out of the game. LeBron took the charge. Harden is out.
He's gone. John Ireland, Lakers Radio, 111-106. Lakers wound up winning. We mentioned LeBron. He had 29 points as the Rockets blow that lead last night. Here was Harden afterwards. He was ticked off, you can imagine, by the referee Scott Foster and the way he officiated the game and officiates him.
You feel like it's a personal issue?
Yeah, for sure. For sure it's personal. For sure. Like, I don't think he should be able to even... you know, officiate our games anymore, honestly.
He said there were issues going back to last postseason and every time that he officiates one of their games.
That is a major accusation.
Sure,
it's going to cost him tens of thousands of dollars, unfortunately, because the NBA really doesn't tolerate any sort of public criticism to their officials. So.
I don't know. When it's a guy like James Harden, he can say whatever he wants.
No, he'll get fined.
He's still get fined, though.
He's going to get fined. The NBA just...
It's like fine him in a quarter.
Yeah, but I think you still have to do it. I mean, even if it's $50,000, it's like a dime to him, maybe even less. You still have to do it, though.
What is the personal accusation that it goes back to last year? And what
he's got
was
a thing
the,
for him.
What was the impetus
he
to it?
He said, there was only about a minute that I was able to watch, and he said there was something going back to the postseason last year where he was just all over Harden and officiates the games differently.
So it's his fault that Harden has won a championship then?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he doesn't
officiate
him and his team the same way like the other officials do. Mm. It's a personal thing with him specifically. I don't know. Mm. Elsewhere, Warriors-Kings last night. Pretty good game. Steph Curry on point from, they say, distance.
With 2:35 to go as Curry now off a screen, just takes a three. Got it! Barnes was slow to come out. Bogdanovich got screened off. Heald got screened off. 6-point lead.
That's Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. It was 10 made threes for Steph Curry last night. He finishes with 36 points. Warriors beat the Kings 125-123. Kevin Durant, 28 points and 7 block shots. Not too shabby there. Bucks beat the Celtics 98-97. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 12 of 30 in the fourth quarter. Sixers beat the Heat 106-102. And the game that I know Boomer is most locked in on, the 12-win Cavaliers now have 13. They beat the Suns 111-98. The Suns 11-49.
16 in a row they've lost. Right
they
on the heels
do
of
not
the Knicks.
What are the Knicks? 11-46?
11-47.
11-47.
Phoenix
okay.
is 11-49. Cleveland 13-46. Chicago 14-44. So those really are the four teams that are vying for the top three picks.
Well, tonight you got the Knicks at 11-47, as you say, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The NBA formally proposing, according to reports, changing the draft eligible age requirement from 19 to 18 as they send that to the Players Association. Here was DeMarcus Cousins talking about Zion Williamson. He is day-to-day with the sprained knee. Cousins says Zion should just move on.
College basketball, NCAA is my advice to him is do what's best for you and your family.
Right. And he continued basically just saying, get out.
I mean, there's so many risks involved to get to the ultimate goal, which is, you know, this level. So just do what's best for him and his family.
Yeah, play basketball, Duke, just like DeMarcus Cousins played in college too, right?
And DeMarcus Cousins
he played
talked glowingly about his time in college.
He played at one of the basketball factories in this country, played for Calipari, and I'm sure he enjoyed every single minute of it.
A serious question, because I've thought about this a lot, because all these guys talk about the sham that college basketball is, and I get it for the top guys, the top few that will go on for big NBA careers, but if it's about saving yourself for the big dollar, right, because you've already established yourself, shouldn't the top high school players then that have scholarships lined up stop playing at this time of year?
Yeah, well, it's the same.
Because if you get hurt, that scholarship is likely gone and taken away, and that $150,000 worth of education is gone.
Same premise. Absolutely.
Why is it different?
And everybody, and we all think, and I think this too, I'm guilty of this, that we all think that Zion Williamson is going to be this next great thing. There's a very good chance he could fail.
Yes.
When he gets to the NBA.
Very true.
How many high picks have we seen basically go by the wayside?
Yeah, even more
lottery.
Reason.
Actually, the Knicks, the last 3 years alone have been nothing but like, let's bring in a former lottery player and let's see how he can see if he can find his game.
Yeah, but I mean, nobody was talking about Emmanuel Mudiay and Trey Burke like they're talking about Zion. I mean, they were definitely excited about him.
Mudiay, they were talking about Trey Burke had a great tournament. His senior or whatever,
a great college career,
right?
But still, they weren't talking about him like Zion.
They're not.
Don't you remember, like, you know, when Mudiay came out, the whole thing was about, you know, who's the top, you know, point guard in the draft and who's going to be picked number one. And he went over to China to play.
He did, yep.
And, you know, he got paid and it just goes to show you, he was supposed to go to SMU to play with Larry Brown, didn't go there, got in trouble with the Deion Sanders school and all that other crap. Right?
Yep, you're right.
I'm in the mood for some Mudiay. I'm in the mood for some Mudiay. I'm in the mood.
That's what I'm talking about, Al. But you just never know one of these kids is going to make it or not.
A lot of people think Barrett's going to be a better pro. So, who knows? This broke yesterday at the end of the show with Jim Boeheim. Police in Syracuse do not expect him to be charged with a crime for the fatal hit. The guy that he wound up killing was 51 years old. According to police, we knew that the car was on the side of the road. It seems like the guy was trying to cross the highway, maybe to get help. Don't know. Boeheim hits him, and according to the reports, Boeheim immediately tried to help him, tried to flag help down, wasn't drinking, nothing like that. So it does not look like there will be any charges filed there, but obviously tough days ahead for sure. Mets expected to speak in person with Jacob DeGrom's representatives. And infielder Jed Lowrie had the MRI on the sore knee. Here is the Broadster, the update on Lowrie.
As we expected, doesn't appear to be a serious injury, but Jed's a veteran player, as we discussed, and we want to make sure we progress him properly so he's at his peak when he comes back 100%.
So not a serious injury, but is it a serious injury? Because it's not too serious, but it could be a serious injury without being a serious injury.
It's not a serious injury.
Oh, okay. All right, just making sure.
There was breaking news, though, from Met Camp. I'm not even kidding. As the reporters put it on, I know they were half joking, of course. Peter Alonso is now Pete Alonso.
Yeah, heard that.
From now on, it's no longer Peter. Here's Mickey Callaway, who just loves Pete.
His footwork's unbelievable. His ability to throw the ball on target has been really uncanny. He can throw from all different angles.
Well, that's good that we actually have a first baseman that can throw.
Right, so the question is, would you are you going to leave him down, though, even if he's ready? Here's Brodster again.
Games in April are just gonna be just as important as they are in September. And so we don't want to miss out on winning the division by a game or two games because we didn't break camp with the best 25 guys.
I love that answer, don't you?
No, I know. I just he can't go a day without talking about winning the division or going to the playoffs.
So let me ask you a question.
That's his goal.
There is a reason why they would leave him down, though, right?
Yeah, the years of control. That whole deal. So if they waited 2 months, then they can gain an extra year on the back end of his pre-arbitration years.
So this may have something to do with Jed Lowry's knee.
Could.
Because if Jed Lowry's knee is not right, then Todd Frazier's going to third base and then Alonzo.
Right. So I do like that answer, though, because I do believe Brody Van Wagenen when he says that.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think that he is concerned, supremely concerned about their success in his first year because of all the crap talking he's been doing, you know? So if that means he's got to lose a year of Peter Alonso at the end, you know, in a few years of control, then fine, because he's got to back this up. Yeah. My God, come get us, October baseball. We're going to win the division by more than a game, basically, is what he's saying here. I mean, it's crazy.
Meantime, in Yankee camp, Greg Bird bashing baseballs. That's the story and the what's going on there. Of course, there are simulated games and basically bullpen sessions. But still, he's a live BP, has been good. Here's Brett Gardner talking about the World Series drought that the Yankees have been on.
As one of the guys that's been in this room the whole time, it's been just as disappointing, if not more so, for me. And I've lost probably more sleep over it than just about anybody.
I haven't won since 2009. You don't seem like you're buying that.
No, I am buying it. It's just a funny perspective, right? I mean, and I believe every bit of what he's saying is true, right? Because he's used to winning, and he's been there the entire time. It's been a long time since 2009 for him, but for other franchises, they would love to have a championship. Yeah, I know. 2009.
Oilers, Islanders last night. The Isles wind up falling.
Dreisaitl trying to beat Pulock to it, but Ryan swung and knocked it off his stick. McDavid in alone, backhands and scores. McDavid has won it in overtime for the Oilers.
That is Chris King on Arena.com. 4-3, yeah. The final score. Isles do get the 1 point.
Just remember, they're in the middle of this West Coast trip, and this is not going to be easy. Now, they go to Vancouver on Saturday night, I believe. So they'll have at least a breather, maybe a practice today or whatever. But they pick up the 1 point. They're 2 points ahead of Washington in the Metro. They still have one game in hand, meaning they played one game less. But this was not going to be an easy trip. Now, the other thing to remember is that we are right at the cusp of the trade deadline for the NHL and whether or not Lou Lamoriello is going to do something to fortify his team. And then if you're David Quinn, thank you, the Rangers head coach, can't be easy coaching players that are worried about whether or not they're going to be playing for the Rangers starting next week.
All true.
And there are probably about four or five guys that are on that list that may be traded. Same thing can be said for the Devils, who had already traded Brian Broyle before we even did the game the other
week. Yeah, that's right. Last week. And speaking of the Devils, they had a couple of guys that they sat out because their trade deadline targets in Johansson and Lovejoy. So how about that?
It can't be easy to coach under those. It's kind of like David Fizdale, right? With Enes Kanter and everybody else. You know, you got about 2 weeks of just total, like... you know, it's just not everybody's pulling in the same direction.
Awkward.
It's awkward, and guys are not happy, and they want to play, and we're not playing, and all this other crap. And then finally, the kid gets traded. He gets traded to Portland. They win last night. He plays well, and his career is back on track now. But the same thing can be said for a number of players for both the Devils and the Rangers.
Well, Devils shut out the Senators 4-0. Rangers lost to the Wild 4-1, and you mentioned the Capitals. They beat the Maple Leafs last night. Career goal 650 for Alex Ovechkin.
One of four players, I think, in the NHL that has 650 goals for one team.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.